Hey everyone, this is Sean Yurt-Curran. You've heard me on WYAB on the radio, and you can also catch me on the new Hulu series, Death in the Dorms, Season 2. I just wanted to introduce you all to my law firm, the Yurt-Curran Law Firm. I'm located over in Fondren on Mill Street in Jackson, Mississippi. I've got over 18 years of law practice under my belt, including a decade as a felony prosecutor in Hinds County and at the Mississippi Attorney General's Office. I spent all those years putting bad guys away. Now let me help keep you out. You can call me anytime at 601-906-909. For a consultation, or just if you want to talk about something about your case. I'm committed to helping you navigate the complexities of the legal system, which I know can be difficult and confusing and downright scary at times. Let me help you use my experience to explain the system to you and how it works and how I can best help you. You can call me again at 601-906-9094 to discuss any of this and any of your worries. Trust me to handle your defense where it is going to be my priority and your future will be my focus.
Boom goes the dynamite. It's hour two on a FIFO Friday. Hey, guys, three words for you. Burgers, blues, barbecue. Get over there now. They got breakfast going. Try the chicken and waffles, the homemade chicken biscuits. I mean, those ain't no frozen biscuits. This is like that empty. This ain't no empty pan of biscuits like Andy Gibson had the other day. These is homemade biscuits, cathead biscuits right there. At Burgers, Blues, Barbecue, Chicken Biscuits. They also got pancakes. Anyway, two locations of the three have breakfast. That's going to be right there in Main Street in Madison and Dogwood Shopping Center, Flowood, Mississippi, right there on Lakeland Drive. They got the breakfast. They've also got lunch and dinner. Of course, downtown Brandon, my little honey hole, has lunch and dinner. They got the B3 Dive Bar. You got to go check out the B3 Dive Bar. It is so, so cool. I love it. It's my favorite little spot. And they got the huge patio out back there. So if you got a big birthday party, we did my daughter's birthday there back at the end of February. Had 30 people, and we didn't take a dent out of it. You can fit 300 people out there easily, I do believe. It's where I've had my Christmas party and stuff the past 2 years. Anyway, check them out. Burgers, Blues, Barbecue, the Burger of the Month, the award-winning Burger of the Month is the Bacon Jam Smash Burger.
That sounds good.
Oh, it's good.
Yeah.
I didn't even know what bacon jam was. It's actually what I ate for dinner when I went to my daughter's birthday.
Yeah.
I'm like, what have I been missing? But only Clay can turn a $10 burger into a $30 burger. I add extra meat. I add this. I add that. I'm like, $10 burgers, $30.
I don't eat, you know, burgers a whole lot. Sure, a few times a month. But it's my favorite food. It is. I know it's simple, but yeah.
You get bread.
Mm-hmm.
And they have the different kind of buns there you can choose from.
Yeah.
You get bread, you get meat, you get cheese, onions. It's like, it's basically like a casserole by the time I get through building a burger.
And have you ever really had a bad time when you order a burger and a beer? Like, that's a good day always. If you're having a burger and a beer, like, it's a good day.
It is. All right. So I want to jump back into something real quick. So, you know, what would you say hell is? Like, what is your version of hell? I mean, be serious on this.
Yeah, one. Yeah, I know. I'm trying to think. I don't know. Like, man, probably many versions of it. I would think I would have many versions of what that would be.
So what I've heard people suggest is the one thing you hate the most happening to you over, like Groundhog Day, kind of. It may not be this fiery lake like we're told, but it could be you stuck if it's having the idea of catching your significant other cheating on you.
Yeah.
You have to see that every day for the rest of your life and feel that hurt constantly every day for the rest of your life, or the rest of eternity, I mean. Pick anything. We'll just leave it there because I could get R-rated with that. But Christian Dedman.
Yeah.
Christian Dedman got 40 years. The most, almost by double, of anybody else. I think McAlpin got 27.
Yep.
Dedman got 40 years. He is heading into, based on what the claims that he did, sexually assaulting people, he is heading into prison for 40 years, and most likely, once they figure out who he is and what he did, that exact very thing is probably going to happen to him every day for the next 40 years. Sean, he is literally going to be living hell on earth.
Yeah, it's
he is going to pay for his sins daily.
it's not going to be good. I talked to a friend of mine that had worked at the Bureau of Prisons the other day about what kind of would be the conditions of confinement. And, he told me that they do their best to protect people all they can. But, a lot of times these guys have no choice but to join a gang. I would assume the whatever Aryan Nation or whatever the gang is. I don't know the gangs, but would be something they would probably have to pick.
Simon City Royals.
Yeah, to protect themselves.
What the irony to go from being a Rankin County cop arresting and abusing Simon City Royals to attempting to have to join them. I've heard, and this is just scuttlebutt, do not take this with anything more than a grain of salt, that the SCRs already may have a hit out on them.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, I bet because he's messed with them so much, huh?
Yeah. And look, that's just scuttlebutt, white trash nonsense I hear.
Sure. It makes sense, though.
These people may be nothing, but it's just the fact that they're uttering things like this. And he's heading into a prison, and they might not have an SCR in that prison. Mm. You just never know. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I was talking to you on the phone this morning. Can you imagine you're Christian Dedman, and you got sentenced, you're 29 years old, and you got sentenced to 40 years. And Fed's around 80-85%, so I think I read some calculation this morning that he'd serve about 34 years if everything worked out well for him. So that means he's going to be, 63, I guess, when he gets out? I mean, I don't know how you mentally prepare for that. You know what I mean? I'd almost be like, can you give me the death penalty? I don't know. You miss your whole life. Your parents die. I don't know. It's hard to even fathom.
Your kid doesn't know you.
Mm-hmm.
My friend Kristen texted in, and she said, I want to make sure I read this because I think it's good. One thing about this, I've tried to be courteous of the families that didn't ask for this. And Kristen texted in and said, I feel sorry on the Guns and Gear text line because I feel sorry for the Goon Squad's wives. If they had them and their children and their kids or wives should get their retirement or whatever they had because they didn't ask for their husband or dad to be a dumbass. And now they have to struggle financially without the second income or child support the moms were getting. Just my thought. I'm embarrassed for them, and they will have to live with that. They will have to live with what they did. I agree with her, and I know a lot of people aren't. That's just the price you pay. I get it. You're not wrong either. But people tell me I don't have empathy enough. I actually do for the families here. They didn't ask for this.
No families of people that commit crimes ask. I've dealt with many of them. They don't ask for it.
A lot of them do. Those are the ones I think that should, when they're minors, do certain things, that they should carry some of those charges. I know I said that last week, so I don't want to be hypocritical here. But in cases like this, when a grown adult decides to go and do this stuff, that's a decision they made. That when their wives didn't raise them wrong, unless they were co-conspirators in it.
Yeah, I mean, you can't always control what your kids do, your parents, and then their wife or your spouse or all that kind of stuff. And it's hard to, you don't want to put it on the family. And then in Deadman's case, he specifically has, another family member who I've discussed before on the show that, our office prosecuted back in 2011, 2012, Daryl Dedman, who ran over James Craig Anderson, which was a race-related crime, actually.
Which is actually this Dedman's cousin.
This Dedman's cousin. And this Dedman, Kingfish has got a really good article, if anybody wants to go to Jackson Jambalaya, about the sentencing discussing this. And it's a Christian Dedman was in the courtroom in 2012 when Daryl Dedman, his cousin, was sentenced to life. So
he's actually got a picture, if I remember right, he's got a picture of him crying.
I think that's right. I don't remember. I was there that day, but I didn't know who Christian Dedman was.
I've seen the picture, and I want to say the picture of him, he's got his hands in his face crying when they sentenced his cousin.
Yeah.
And it makes you wonder. I hate speculating because I don't want to roll a whole family on the bus, but it just makes you wonder, did he have resentment from that incident and hold it and carry that into his law enforcement career?
Yeah, who knows? I mean, but I tell you what Daryl Dedman did was, I mean, you saw that video, right? You remember the video when he ran over James Craig Anderson. I mean, it was so, they were out looking for someone to do that to. And I remember I was not the lead prosecutor on that. There was a guy, actually, I can call him my name because he's I think he's proud of it. We all should be proud of him. His name's Scott Rogelio. He works over at the Madison Rankin DA's office, and he prosecuted Dedman, did a great job. And that, it was really, really horrific. I mean, it was just really horrific crime. And so I don't know what resentment, I mean, maybe Christian's resenting the system, but I don't know how anybody could have objected to what happened to Daryl based upon what he did, you know, because it was, I mean, it was that bad. So
if that happened today, they would burn Brandon down. They would try. Brandon would defend him. And I say Brandon because that's where they came from to do it. I believe that if that very incident happened today, there would be a civil war between Jackson and Brandon.
Are you talking about the Daryl Denman incident?
Yeah, and caught on film and all that. Like,
yeah,
it is.
I mean, because that was a race related crime.
Yeah, and that was pre social media. I mean, I know MySpace was around, but
Facebook,
I mean,
was there. Yeah,
but it wasn't video available on demand. I mean, it just
not like now. It's not sure. Certainly, the last 12 years, things have changed quite a bit. So. But, you know, so, yeah.
There's the picture of him.
He is. Okay. Yeah.
He is crying. So thank you to whoever sent that picture in on the Guns and Gear text line. Let's see here. Reaganken says, Goon Squad shooter did not get enough time. He and the Goon Squad member with the fetish both should have gotten about 40 years. I don't disagree with that. I was frankly surprised to see him get 20 and then Deadman get 40. But like I got up here on the show the other day and said myself, if I'm that guy that one of the guys has happened to, and you blow half my mouth off, and then you get some penetration against my will, I just me, I'm holding the penetration on another. Like, if I only got one choice, I got to pick. One guy gets 20 years. One guy gets 40 years. We'll just use the actual numbers. The guy that the penetration guy is getting 40 years because I'd rather be shot than have my manhood snatched.
Yeah. Yeah, man. No kidding.
I mean, I know that sounds terrible. You're like, oh, Clay, you're being hyperbolic. But I'm just saying, knowing the outcome, knowing that he didn't die, I think I'd rather be having to get my jaw wired up than having to relive that. And then – what, he put it in his mouth afterwards?
Yeah, I think so.
Man. Sorry out there if you weren't prepared.
We're past
for that.
The school hour. The kids are out of the car at this point. Yeah, how much time we got? There's one thing I wanted to talk about, the sheriff's statement.
We'll get to it in the next segment.
Okay, great.
Let's see. Let's read a few more texts, and we got to go to our break, so we kind of stay on schedule somewhat this morning. Jake says on the Guns and Gear text line, says you have to think. It says, you have to think, what did that last couple of Deadman generations do so horrible to make the current generation turn out so broken? I mean, look, I'm just going to tell you, sometimes you're just a product. Sometimes you're a product of your environment, and sometimes that environment ain't in the house. You know, the rest of the family may be solid gold. You never know. You know, so I want to be careful about dropping an entire family in the grease here, but there's definitely some questions there. I think that's fair to say. Unknown texture, credit equal reduction in time. So, okay. I think some of them got credit for ratting out others. Credit equal reduction in time served. Well, yeah, that's what we kind of hinted around to in the first in a conversation earlier in the show, was based on some of the sentencing, especially when you look at Deadman's. Mm-hmm. You really have to wonder, was there some cooperation? And then you go listen to some of their statements, and it feels like that cooperation was setting up a narrative to paint Brian Bailey into a corner.
100%. I don't think there's any way anybody that can read any of that and not see what the narrative is, that there's a culture that was created by the sheriff. I think that's what the U.S. Attorney's Office is trying to craft, and the FBI. Just my opinion, but I think anybody can plainly read it. And then again, I said in the last hour about the memorandum, the sealed investigation memorandum that they read from, that indicates to me, I don't know if we get Chris Hinkle to text in on that, but that's an ongoing investigation. And I assume that only leads to one person, would be my impression of that.
All right, let's take a break. We'll be right back with Sean Yarkaran on the Clay Edwards Show. Phone line 601-879-0002, Guns and Gear text line 769-241-1944. Be sure to get out to Guns and Gear today. Big weekend extravaganza going on right there on Highway 51 North at Yandale Road in Gluckstadt. Shop them online, gunsandgearms.com. They're the home of No Limit Ammo. They can take care of all your gunsmithing and Cerakoting needs as well. Of course, they got your guns, and they will buy your gun from you for fair market value. See them today, Guns and Gear. Get all out of whack. That Polyfoam can fix and protect that. So let them come out there and check it out for you today. All right, Sean. Oh, sorry.
Yep.
I had the mic off.
Cool.
Some people. That's some probably people good. Say that's a good thing.
That's probably a good thing. Keep my mic off.
Let's go into Bailey.
Yeah.
You want to read his statement?
Yeah, he made a. If anybody didn't see this, I can't imagine anybody didn't see it. But he
actually, I didn't. I missed this.
You did not. Okay, he made a statement yesterday. Released a statement, and I'll read it real quick. It says, "Everyone in Rankin County, whether a resident or visitor, should be able to live, work, play, and conduct their life without the fear of having their constitutional rights violated. In January of 2023, criminal conduct by individual former deputies injured citizens in our county and undermined the reputation of the Rankin County Sheriff's Department." Because the safety and security of everyone in Rankin County is a primary concern for this department, we fully cooperated with all investigative and prosecutorial efforts by federal and state officials. As a result of those efforts, those former deputies are being held accountable for their actions. Every law enforcement officer takes an oath to serve his or her community, safeguarding lives and property, and protecting the weak and innocent from deception, intimidation, and violence are just a few objectives of our deputies. Violation of established rules and regulations will not be tolerated by this department, and anyone who violates the law will be brought to justice. As a duly elected and acting sheriff of Rankin County, I will remain committed to the betterment of this county and this sheriff's department moving forward. Together with the honest, hardworking men and women currently with this department, we will strive daily to make this community a safe and more secure place to live for everyone.
And I find it funny he only mentioned... Funny is probably an inappropriate word. Mm-hmm. Ironic, maybe. He only mentioned the January incident.
Yeah, not all the other ones. And
those are just ones we know about. And I'll be honest, all I ever am is honest on here. I could probably quit saying that. Sometimes I'm wrong, but it doesn't mean I'm not being honest. You have to know that there's so much that we don't know.
Yeah.
And I think that's safe to say.
100%.
And Sean, I'll be honest. I don't mean to keep saying that. I was a little indifferent on this thing initially,
mm-hmm.
because you hear it so often, and I'm going to make this race-related for a second here. So often you hear black folks, come up with these crazy things that they claim happened to them by the police, and it's proven to be a lie. Hands up, don't shoot.
Michael Brown.
Just every day in their people's lives, trying to get money, trying to get a mm-hmm. lawsuit. And I'm like, man, I'm just going to be honest. This checks off every box of a hoax.
It's the boy who cried wolf syndrome that happens.
It is.
You know?
And I didn't believe it. And that's why I never talked about it until it didn't. Not only did the indictment drop, the guilty pleas came with it.
Yeah. The bill of information. No, it wasn't even an indictment. Yeah. They just pled guilty to a bill. So yeah.
It was like, at that point I was like, okay, hey, I was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be the first to admit I was wrong. And that's when it really opened up my eyes to an extent. And then I said, well, this is just a small sample size. This a couple of bad guys doing something, they'll pay the cost for their actions.
Yeah.
Then, and keep in mind, like my whole gimmick, my whole effed around and found out gimmick is pro police.
Mm-hmm.
I call it a gimmick, but you know what I mean. The videos, the whole thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's real. It's who I am. But, the entertainment side of it is all 100% based on being pro-police and people effing around and finding out what happens when you mess with the police.
Mm-hmm.
Then the other 27-page document that we leaked from the New York Times came out with the 20-plus victims.
Yeah.
All that stuff. And I'm sitting there, and I'm like, man, is it really this bad in Rankin County, or is this really what they're doing to, air quotes in the studio, keep Rankin County safe? Is this really necessary? Because there's a lot of other safe counties around here.
Sure.
Outside of Hines, or outside of Jackson. Hines County is relatively safe outside of Jackson.
Yeah, we got a good sheriff in Hines County.
You got a good sheriff, and we got good police chiefs in Byram and Clinton mm-hmm. and some other places. You know, is this what you have to do to keep a town safe, to keep a county safe? And I don't 100% do not believe that's what you have to do to that extent.
Yeah.
And I keep going back to living, you know, there is a gray area. There is a gray area. And there is. And I will, that can be my hill to die on. But this far exceeds that. And it really made me question, you know, when you read all that, like, man, am I on the right side here a little bit? And I know I am. I know these are, you know, there's some bad apples, and maybe there's some systemic, there's that word everybody likes so much. Maybe there's some systemic.
Never heard you use it in a positive context, or not positive, but you know what I mean.
It ain't not racism.
Right.
So just some systemic issues over there at the Sheriff's Department that empower people to think they can do these things without consequence.
Yeah.
And look, I've been a supporter of Brian. I still think I'm still not going to sit here and just 100% roll him under the bus and act like he's done no good. What he's done with his prison ministry stuff.
It's great. The jail out there has run really well, too.
The jail, you know, I'm not going to sit here and just say, well, because this happened under his watch, that he's got a front row seat in hell.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to do that. I can sit here and say, okay, I can compartmentalize things, too.
Yeah.
Did he do a good job with this? I 100% believe so. I know too many people involved in that prison. I'm just calling it prison ministry stuff because there's a lot of prison church stuff. I think that's doing the Lord's work.
Yeah.
I mean, I truly think it is. His trustee program is good. Now, there's all kind of rumors about trustees being used to work at places and this, that, and the other. And if all that's true, it will, in fact, come out. Mm-hmm. Until it is, I'm not going to sit here and say that it is. But you see the trustees all around Rankin County doing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so there's a lot of good that's done, too. When something this bad happens, does it completely negate all of that? In the public eye, it does.
Yeah, I think the public eye, it does. That's unfortunately, but it does.
Yeah, but as a citizen in Rankin County, it doesn't to me. Now, with that said, does Brian Bailey need to go? I don't know how he stays.
Yeah, and I think everybody in the community feels the same way just from anybody you talk to. I mean, I'm just going to use people out there listening.
And I'm not trying to sugarcoat it because I deal with these people or anything. I'm just that is just from the heart. How I feel about it.
Yeah. I don't know how he stays. I mean, I think he's staying now because that's a bargaining chip for him with the feds. That's my assumption is why he's staying. But I think everybody in the community has the same thoughts. I've heard a very few minority of people say that, oh, he should stay. But 99% of everybody agrees. And the thing is, I think the longer he stays, the less safe Rankin County actually is because people trust the system less. And whenever they do that, it makes all of us less safe. I think that's a problem.
I think that brings a great point. It's like a dark cloud hanging over Rankin County. I've talked to a few of the guys off duty, you know, off the record, I mean, and some of them said, hey, man, I'm kind of embarrassed to wear the uniform.
Yeah.
You know, or maybe not embarrassed, but the people looking at them differently when they see them inside somewhere.
Sure.
But they're looking at them, and they're not respecting the uniform. Used to, it was like, you know, you want the uniform to demand respect. Now it demands fear.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not how you want to police a community of overwhelmingly good citizens.
Right. You want there needs to be like a partnership with the citizens and the police. And I mean, that's what you'd want. I'm not saying that works out that way all the time. But but now there's just I mean, I feel bad for those guys that are working there having to deal with that, too, because, I mean, these are guys that didn't do anything and they're just trying to be good cops. And now their jobs they're less safe, you know, because of this. Because what if somebody is in a car and they pull over and you get pulled over by the Rankin County Sheriff's Department and the guy gets nervous and he doesn't know what they're, you know what I mean? It just creates all this tension, I think, that makes the police less safe too and sets them back, you know, from where they were. And that's just bad for everybody.
You know, I've seen a bunch of comments that say now Rankin County is going to turn into Jackson and this and that. It's not.
I mean, is Madison Jackson? I mean, I've never heard about any of this going on in Madison. I mean, so.
You know, weeding out bad apples doesn't make the place less safe.
No, absolutely not. It's going to make it more safe when it's run properly and people have confidence in the system. You know, there's so many, we're talking about this off air, there's so many great elected officials in Rankin County, too, that they're having to suffer for this because they're part of the system and they don't deserve that either. And they're doing a good job. They're all working really hard. And it's just this has caused that kind of cloud. Once it's gone, I think the county's going to be able to repair its image, you know, slowly but surely. Elect the right sheriff. Get it fixed. I think that'll, you know, that's hopefully will resolve all the issues.
Well, it ain't like Jackson is going to get any safer, so it'll still be the center of attention. And, I mean, that seems to be the battle, right? It's like Jackson, Ring County. Jackson's not going to quit killing one another. Crime ain't going to stop in Jackson.
No.
So it ain't like Jackson's going to become this safe enclave. Rankin County's still going to be a great, safe place to live and do business. And you just know that, hey, if you think you're going to come to Rankin County and be a criminal, there may always be an element there that's going to make sure you're not.
Yeah, I mean, there's plenty of Brandon police, Pearl police. I mean, the DA's office is a good DA's office. Like, everybody's safe in Rankin County. You don't need, you know, Christian Denman out in the middle of the night doing things he did to be safe. That you don't need that. So Rankin County is going to be just as safe as always is. Once there's a new sheriff, it'll be even safer.
Let's take a break. We'll be right back. Sean York, Ron, and Clay Edwards on 103.9 FM WYAB. I'll announce next week the next sticker stop. We're going to spread it around to some of our sponsors here. All right, Sean.
Yep.
There's a headline. We're going to ride this out for a minute. Okay, hold on. I want to say one thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I pout about this a lot, and people get tired of hearing it. But, for example, y'all know that we've talked about this ad nauseum.
Sure.
Like, I feel like we have probably talked about this Goon Squad thing at length anyway, more than anybody else.
Probably more than any other, I guess, radio outlet, I would say, definitely, right?
I mean, we've dedicated multiple full shows to it. If you follow me on TikTok or Instagram or Facebook, you've seen my videos about it. I don't know how much more I can cover this. And I constantly see this stuff online where people who refuse to go look at my pages before they tag me and things saying, Clay, why ain't you talked about this? I did a show the other day, Sean, called What Grinds My Gears.
Yeah.
That grinds my gears. At least take the time to go look on the places, sometimes on the very platform you're tagging me on, crying about I don't talk about something. Now, I know that the people listening to the show are not who I'm talking to. I'm just kind of venting a little bit here. It's mainly Jacksonian Democrats that don't take the time to actually look at the page to see if there's anything on there before they tag me in pages crying about it. And I'm going to highlight one specific individual who used to be in media around here. Mr. Jay White is the guilty party this morning, former radio host, former employee at Mississippi Public Broadcast, a guy who I actually have always liked, made a collage of Goon Squad stories, news stories, links, and then just put on top of it, Save Jackson, insinuating that I ain't seen these things, that I haven't talked about these things. I mean, I've talked about it to the point that there's listeners who think I'm anti-cop. I'm pro-truth.
I mean, I can't, well, you know, I mean, they'll say this on air. How much have we personally talked about this case for months? I mean, I feel like it comes up every day.
Yeah.
And especially when that New York Times stuff was going on in November when we did that. This thing has been, I mean, you're right. I think we've dissected this more than anybody. I mean, Kingfish on written, you know, on his blog has done a really good job. But the local media, they just put an article up, you know, when something happens. But we've talked about, even sometimes when we're having a show and it just comes up and we start talking about it. I mean,
it's like, this to me, I don't like doing the little short form videos on this topic because it's too big of a topic to do a short form video on.
Yeah.
It doesn't play well to short form video because it is layer after layer. It needs to be peeled apart like such. I'm sorry that I can't muster up the energy to make a 60-second snarky video about it because it's not a 60-second snarky topic.
No, it's just, there's really not. I mean, I don't know. That's just stupid. I'm just saying, as much as we've talked about this thing and just gone back and forth on it forever, I know obviously it's in the media this week because of the sentencing, so that's why it's being brought up again. And by the way, I mean, I was telling you at the break, we ain't done with this, and not just what's going to potentially happen with Brian Bailey, but there's, you know, from what I think is the worst kept secret in Jackson, that the New York Times has got a series of articles that they're doing that are going to be coming out. I mean, it's I don't know what they are. I don't know what the subject, I mean, the subject matter is this, but I don't know what the specifics are.
Yeah.
So we're all going to see this, more of this. This is not the end of it. And I'm sure we'll cover that as well when it happens.
I mean, this is the end of it for now.
Yeah.
Like, today is going to be the last day we talk about this until something else arises. I mean, there's plenty of other stuff to talk about, but I want to give this its due justice.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's fair to. Shifting gears away from the Goon Squad for a minute, because I did want to hit this today. We've got about 4 or 5 minutes.
Okay.
The girl that killed her mom out in Flowood the other day.
Yeah.
Now, since that story came out, and I tiptoed around it the other day because I wasn't 100% sure. I was getting some information, but I wasn't sure. Now I'm all but verifying this. The girl was trans. She was living as a boy.
You're talking about the Oklahoma case?
No. I'm talking about the Flowood case.
Oh, the Flowood case. I'm sorry. I was reading that article last night. That's why I was...
The 14-year-old girl who killed her mom and shot her stepdad. Mm-hmm. Name was Carly. She was living as Carl. Her Instagram bio had her pronouns in it. He, him, something like that.
Gotcha.
So was kind of living as a what would that be, a trans man, I guess? And this is just a guess on my end, that she looks like she's on the spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's that kind of that autism.
Gotcha.
It all checks out. You're stereotypical. I don't know what it is about kids with autism. They get drawn towards this trans stuff. They get sucked in online and they get radicalized. It's a very sad situation. I'm going to go out on a limb here and guess that she was probably on some kind of antidepressants. And I put this out there. I said all this in a video. Then lo and behold, if Lives with TikTok doesn't pick it up. And Rolls with the same thing.
Oh, they picked it up?
Well, not me. They picked up the story. And then, of course, everybody's, Lives with TikTok said it. I'm like, I said it 2 days prior to Lives with TikTok. But, you know, I'm not trying to get into a pissing contest about who called a 14-year-old trans first. But it don't take a rocket scientist to look at this and figure out what's going on here. Okay. Somebody's just got to have the cojones to actually speak the truth and not tiptoe around it because it's a 14-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
There's something going on. And whether I'm right or wrong, I'm going to get on this antidepressant SSRI stuff. One of our longtime hosts here, Mike Madison, has always been on this. He's done the research. These antidepressants that they're putting these kids on at a younger and younger and younger age, I've got a story Monday I'm going to tell you all about. A couple mothers have reached out to me since I posted my video with their nightmare stories of their kids being put on SSRIs at a young, young age. One woman woke up to her 15, 16-year-old kid at her bedside with a knife ready to kill her.
Yum.
And she had, the only thing that woke her up is she dropped the knife, and it woke her up.
I'm glad you brought this up. I just watched a whole thing about this recently about how, you know, our society, we've just medicated our brains into this state now of, like, you know, we've got to be in this state of constant joy. Not that I'm a psychologist or anything, but I was...
Yeah, you're never supposed to feel sad anymore.
Yeah, and so immediately it's like, pull out the, you know, antidepressants. And it's got to have some sort of impact. Of course, I'm not an expert in that field, so I don't know how to, you know, mine's all speculation. But
same.
It's kind of like this Ozempic thing to me.
Yeah.
Like, you're taking something, you know, like this to, like, change your... Whatever it does to reduces your... hunger, is like a diabetes drug, is that correct, or something like that? I mean, and, you know, people are losing all this weight. You got to think there's going to be some health consequences to that. I mean, just my common sense is telling me that there's going to be some health consequences to taking this down the line. And I feel the same way about antidepressants. Like, there's just got to be some health consequences down the line to doing that.
Hey, look, I did it for 3 months. I took it when I was trying to tighten up a little bit, and I felt like it was deteriorating muscle too.
Talking about, you took what now?
The Ozempic stuff.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Like, I took the compounded version of it. And, you know, I felt like it was creating a little no butt at all.
Yeah.
You know, that was just me. Everybody's different. But I've seen people who have now been on it for like a year or so. They're skinny, but they don't look healthy.
Yeah, my dad took it for a year, and he finally got off it. And he just said it just made him feel – he lost a bunch of weight. And he's like, it just made him feel really weird. And, you know, he quit taking it. And he said one of the reasons he did, he said, I didn't want to drink anymore. And he's like, I didn't like that.
Yeah. Circling back to the SSRI thing, I'm gonna tell y'all some stories Monday. That's probably going to be the lead topic of the show is we're going to dive into this trans autism stuff and – what SSRIs are doing to people. And I think it's time to start holding these doctors accountable for over SSRI. That's your antidepressant medications, for those that aren't sure what SSRIs, your Zolofts of the world, stuff like that. I think it's time to start looking at these doctors who prescribe this, just like we look at doctors who overprescribe opioids. Because we are creating a nation of zombies. And for whatever reason, just in my through my lens, through my algorithm, all of this seems to be making people very woke too. Could woke literally be a mind virus caused by SSRIs? Sean, let's take our last break of the day and we'll be right back.
Gotcha.